So we shot all over this area. That was the processing plant. There were live boats coming in as we were doing it. So all of the background was actually, you know, real fishermen unloading their boats.
That's writer-director Sean Hader on the waterfront of the centuries-old fishing town of Gloucester, Massachusetts, setting for films like The Perfect Storm and her new movie, Coda, based on a French film which she reset here and centered around a fishing industry hit hard by depleted fish stocks and regulation.
This whole waterfront was so alive back in the day. There were coffee shops that catered to the fishermen that opened at 3 a.m. so the guys could get their coffee before they went out. There was a whole industry around it, and you go down now and Cape Pond Ice and all these places are kind of shutting down. There's a lot of empty spaces.
Yeah.
It's a place that's sort of in my body and my bones because I grew up coming here, and when I really thought about a place to set the film, there's a lot of conflict here happening.
Including conflict in the Rossi family, most of whom are deaf. The cast includes Oscar winner Marlee Matlin as mom, Troy Kotsur as dad, Daniel Durant the son, all three actors deaf. Hearing actress Amelia Jones plays Ruby, the coda, or child of a deaf adult, in the film's title. She connects her family to the hearing world, but is chafing to find her own identity in music. In this scene, she's run out of choir practice. Her teacher, played by Eugenio Derbez, asks her why.
I got scared.
Of what? Other kids?
Maybe. Or maybe finding out that I'm bad.
How did you find out about children of deaf adults?
I reached out through social media, through my friend circle, and just went, does anybody know someone who's grown up with deaf parents who could talk to me? And so I had about three, you know, actual CODAs.
CODAs, children of deaf adults, is what
children
they call themselves.
Deaf adults, and it's a very common term in the deaf community. And there are many different CODA experiences, you know. But the interesting thing about CODAs is that CODAs who grow up with deaf parents grow up in deaf culture, and ASL might be their first language, and they oftentimes feel more connected to deaf culture than to hearing culture. And there's a strange limbo that they exist in where they're a part of both worlds but also a part of neither. Jack Jason, who's Marlee's longtime interpreter, who's been with her for 30 years, he described his childhood as a coda as being the electrical wire. He said that you're the conduit between these two points, and your job is to sort of deliver information and receive information, but in a way you almost feel like you don't exist or you don't know who you are.
Because you're just the antenna.
You're the antenna. You're there to facilitate communication, and oftentimes you're a part of conversations that you're not ready for, you know, because they're adult Ruby in the doctor's office interpreting about jock itch, which is mortifying. Like, who wants to talk to their parents about their sex life?
Right. Well, so the layman's term for what you both have is jock itch. It's common if you spend a lot of time in damp clothes, and it's easily transferable via intercourse.
You did not do this on your own. You hired Alexandra Wales, director of ASL.
The Dazzle, it's called. It's the director of artistic sign language, or sometimes called an ASL master. This is a really important role on set because they're not an interpreter. They are a deaf person who has usually a background in, like, dramaturgy, you know, where they're doing an interpretation, not just a translation of ASL scenes, but are doing a creative interpretation as well, because, you know, the languages are so different. They have different syntax and grammar, and ASL is really, there's no past tense or future.
We have to say that there are 200 ASL languages in the world we learn, and so this person would be doing what? Saying that would not be a regionally correct thing to do or say? What?
It's picking up in the way that you have a Boston accent. A deaf person can watch someone sign, and it's a regionalism. And also getting everyone to sign together. So it wasn't just working with Amelia, who was the hearing person who learned to sign.
Played Ruby.
But it was also working with Marlee and Daniel and Troy to have them feel like a family. And I will say, Anne Tomasetti came in. So I had two Dazzles. Alexandria was there to help me translate the script, and then Anne took over in production, and she was next to me at the monitor every day, every step of the way, and every shot.
You also had, is it Heather Rossi?
Yes.
Did you name the characters after her family? Because she's a child of deaf adults, but they're fishermen.
That was, I mean, you talk about movie magic or synchronicity in the universe, but Anne Tomasetti came to set and we were, you know, trying to find interpreters. So Anne said to me, well, my friend Heather Rossi, you should reach out to her. She's a coda herself and her dad was a fisherman. And I thought that was so wild and cool. And so we actually brought Heather to work on the movie. And her dad was a fisherman, and he had a boat that he named Deaf Boater. And the reason he named it Deaf Boater is if he ever had an encounter with the Coast Guard would see the name of the boat and know that in a boarding situation, he might not be responding.
There is a scene in the film where father and son go out without Ruby, their interpreter, that day, because she is having her own life that day. And they are radioed. They don't hear the radio. And the tension builds because it's the harbor master trying to get their attention. And they end up having to board the boat in a really gripping scene.
You, sir, stand up.
The whole time, they're completely unaware of what's going on. Are you worried that you might hear from someone in the deaf community? Are you saying that we shouldn't be fishermen? Are you saying that it's too dangerous, we can't hear?
No, I mean, I'm not saying that. And deaf people are lawyers, they're doctors, they hold all kinds of jobs and professions. And it's more about us as a society adjusting to accessibility to make sure those opportunities are open. The bigger issue that I was addressing in that scene is what happens when deaf people encounter law enforcement, which goes south a lot. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of law enforcement is not properly trained to deal, and when they see someone not responding or not following directions or commands, it can go to a really bad place. It can escalate very, very quickly. And I've actually heard the opposite about that scene. I'm glad that you included something like that, because this is a problem that happens a lot.
You immersed yourself. You learned sign, or are learning still.
Yeah.
How has this film, which is just marvelous, how has it changed you?
It has been such a gift to me as a person. The friends that I've made, the relationships that I have. We were telling the story about a family. We became a family making the film. So it was almost like, wow, if nothing ever happened with this film, if it just sat on a shelf somewhere, it would still be a complete experience.
Well, and the acting, let's just re-acknowledge Marlee Matlin as the mom, Troy Kotsur, her husband, Daniel Durant, who plays the son, and Amelia Jones, who also learned to sign to play Ruby. As you watch, you're reminded, and people who know deaf people know this, and people who are deaf people know this, you're reminded that it's a ballet, it's dancing, it's orchestral, it's,
yes.
I now know the sign for a-hole, if I may say. I mean, it's expressive.
Which kind of looks like an a-hole.
Yes, sort of does. You know, it's just so coordinated and artistic in and of itself.
Well, it's an incredibly visual, wonderful language to shoot on film. And as a writer, I remember sitting across from Alexandria as we were doing the translation of the script.
Your director, yeah.
She was my director of sign language, and we sat in an apartment in New York, and she would read a line and sign it back to me and then ask me about my intention with the line, and I'd look at the sign, and sometimes the sign felt too passive for my intention. I wanted, you know, the actor's really angry in this moment, and I'd love a sign that felt sharper, more violent, and she would play with the words and find the sign that was the expression, and it is like a dance. I mean, it's so beautiful when you watch it, and it's such an incredibly, and to go back to my self-learning sign, it's a very organic way to express yourself.
What a piece of work. Now it goes to the public. How are you anticipating that?
Hopefully people will watch this family and just feel like, oh, this feels like my family. And that the difference is that they're deaf, but they're not other in any other way. You know, they're really a hilarious, weird, quirky family that fights and laughs. And, you know, I guess my hope is that it normalizes a deaf family and feels universal.
Your parents don't have to be deaf to come to a school assembly and be a little puzzled. In this case, you know, and in this case, they can't hear it, which is heartbreaking because it's music. Coda, children of deaf adults. Coda is also, of course, a musical term.
Yes. CODA does have a double meaning in the title because it's children of deaf adults, but it's also the end of a piece of music. And it's a story about the end of childhood. And for Amelia, and Amelia's the actress, Ruby's the character, but as a teenager who's responding to this kind of responsibility and feeling trapped and I want to get out of here, but in fact, she gets a lot of self-worth out of this role. You know, I think a lot of the CODAs I spoke with describe this feeling of, yes, I felt like I had a lot of responsibility, but I also felt really important. I actually think the Joni Mitchell song is perfect, Both Sides Now, that she sings at the end, because Joni Mitchell has described that song as being when childhood fantasy butts up against adult reality. And that song really marked for her the end of her childhood. And that's what the movie's about. It's like once you remove yourself from the comfort zone of your identity within the people that you love, how do you find your own voice?
CODA, writer and director Sean Hader in Gloucester, Massachusetts. CODA opens in theaters and on Apple TV on Friday. By the way, the film version has subtitles for the deaf.